if they're innocent.
Right. But, of course.
Well, it certainly looks like the guilt is certainly pointing in their direction.
Well, the evidence must be there for the judge to still consider them suspects. And I got to wonder, and I'll ask you this question, if I can.
Sure.
How much the television program and everything that's been happening here in the last couple of weeks, including the information that's come out on my program, had to do with that. You know, judges and lawyers will say no, they make up their mind independently, but there's been a big backlash of information, and finally the family is getting a little bit of good news. It's not what they want, but at least it's something that's going their way.
Yes, sir.
So hopefully that'll have something to do with it, but I certainly appreciate your call.
Yes, sir. I bet Dave and Beth both have already heard this. They've got to be delighted. They've just got to be.
Well, we'll have Dave on the air here in just a little while.
Yes, sir. I'll be listening. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-877-842-7884. How much did the DeVries program have to do with this? Well, you know, again, lawyers and judges and everyone involved will say, no, they had nothing to do with it. I don't think the evidence has changed. There's obviously some more evidence that has come out as far as the corruption and the lack of investigation, but and some admissions that have been made. Some lawyers will say, like Joe Tacopina, that that isn't evidence. Will it be presented? Well, they say that it will, but at least I would have been surprised somewhat if the Kelpos and Yoren had been released as suspects. Again, that it makes no sense to me, this whole Aruban process. You're a suspect. Some people are suspects in crimes for years, decades, before the crimes are solved. 1-877-842-7884. 1-877-842-7884. You can call in toll free and we can discuss this. And of course, I'll ask Dave Holloway just that question, but I'm trying to think exactly what the rule is, and we've discussed it on the air here several times, but it's, you know, it's a system. I guess it's the best they have. It's kind of convoluted. Their sentencing provisions in Aruba make no sense to me at all either. You know, it's very weak as far as the sentencing provisions go, but by God, somebody has to pay for what's happened to this young girl. And the evidence has to be brought to a competent court, a competent jurisdiction court, and the evidence can be weighed and punishment delivered if the court finds whoever is taken there guilty. You know, that's the important thing. Just a minute, my producer is sending me an email saying the bizarre fact is that even if they were released as suspects, if new info came in on them, they could be made suspects again. New evidence can make one a suspect again, to my knowledge. Yes, Dave and Beth were delighted. And yeah, absolutely. This is good news. It's not great news, but it's good news for the families because of, God, they deserve some, you know. There's a lot more that should be coming their way, but for being slapped down as many times as they've been, this family keeps getting up and getting up and getting up, and my God, they have to be commended for it. So finally, a little something goes their way, and maybe there'll be some, and like it says in the email I got from another listener, justice for Natalie Ann Holloway. My name is Dana Pritzer. This is the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. The Dana Pritzer Show starts in about 10 minutes. Right now, I am taking your calls toll-free to 1-877-842-7884, 1-877-842-7884. At the top of the hour, Attorney J. Paul Derritani will be here to talk about the Melinda Duckett case, and then Dave Holloway, followed by Pat Pedraja, young boy with leukemia that is selling ad space on his forehead. And in fact, that ad space went to, I want to make sure I get the name correct here, All Road Communications in San Diego. And in fact, they donated a satellite phone for the Driving for Donors program. And you'll hear all about that from Pat Pedraja and his mom. And then an update on the missing honeymooner, George Smith. Remember that case? We saw a lot of it in the media. 8 days into George and Jennifer Smith's dream honeymoon cruise aboard the Royal Caribbean ship Brilliance of the Seas, something went terribly wrong. Passengers two floors below the Smith's cabin woke up on the morning of July 5th and noticed a metal overhang above a lifeboat covered in blood. Somehow George Smith had gone overboard. So we'll have an update on that case, too. Hi, you're on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network.
Hi, Dana. I heard you talk. It's Kathy.
Hi.
I was just heard you talking about Dutch law, and don't ever try to figure it out.
Jeez, I can't.
Because it makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. And you know, it just this whole suspect thing is probably the most bizarre. Finally, if you can consider this good news, what's good news is that somebody gets arrested and actually taken to court and tried. But I guess this is better than nothing. At least these kids are still suspects, which. In my mind, they always will be until there's some concrete answers.
Yeah, I don't really know if, like, when the clock runs out by the end of, say, June the next year.
Yeah, something like that.
I know that there's no statute of limitations on murder.
Right, yeah.
I'm thinking some of the lesser charges, and this Dutch law thing is just, it's all Greek to me.
Yeah, that's right.
But I was really glad to hear that.
Oh, absolutely.
At least. It's just a crumb, but... Yep. Maybe we'll get the whole cake.
It's about time for sure. Thanks for calling.
Okay, then. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. 1-877-842-7884. Yeah, it's just a crumb, but at least it's something. At least it's something, because this family certainly deserves a break, and because they've gone through too much here in the last little while. And it's been an interesting week. I think I'll ask Dave Holloway just that question, you know. These last couple of weeks have been interesting for sure. At least there's been some news media coverage, some positive news media coverage. The DeVries television show, some stuff that was first aired here on Scared Monkeys radio network. And then the lineup television program with Jossie Mansour, Beth Holloway Twitty, and Peter DeVries. And then the civil attorney for Joran van der Sloot calling in and losing it. For lack of a better term, I think that's probably fairly accurate. You can see that video on the Scared Monkeys website, scaredmonkeys.com, or it's a feed from YouTube, I believe. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back here in just a minute on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. Okay, we're back. This is the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. Hi, caller. Where are you calling from?
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize. I think I got the wrong number then.
Oh, who are you calling?
I was just trying to get a hold of Jeff or Aaron.
Oh, okay. You got the wrong number.
Okay, sorry. Thanks.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
Okay. Well, that's the best we can do. Okay, I'm going to take a break, and we'll be back here in a minute. Start the Dana Pretzer Show. My first guest this evening, J. Paul Derritani, and then Dave Holloway, and then Pat Pedraja. And then Bree Smith. So we'll be back in a minute here on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. Okay, yeah, we are the Monkees. This is the Scared Monkees Radio Network. My name is Dana Pretzer. December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, 2006, the Dana Pretzer Show. Tonight, an update on the Melinda Duckett case and the lawsuit against CNN and Nancy Grace. Attorney J. Paul Derritani will be here. Then Dave Holloway. There's been lots of activity about the Natalie Holloway case and what's been going on in Aruba. And then the bravest kid I've ever talked to, Pat Pedraja, he's an 11-year-old boy that has leukemia. And he's selling ad space on his forehead to try and raise money to fight that disease. After that, an update on the missing cruise passenger, honeymooner, George Smith. His sister, Bree Smith, will be here. That's the Dana Pretzer Show on the Scared Monkees Radio Network. Our webpage is www.scaredmonkees.com/radio. And we're on satellite W3-957. We'll be back in a minute with J. Paul Derritani and an update on the Duckett case.
People can stand up and say they had enough of rock and roll music today. If you didn't come to boogie, you didn't come to ball, you got no business being here at all. And it's gonna be one of those nights, it's just got to be one of those nights. Hey people, I'm gonna give you warning, we're all going to jail in the morning. Grab somebody and hold on tight, it's gonna be one of those nights where we're just flew in for one night stand, making our music. Everybody here's gonna have a good time. Well, it's gonna be one.
Okay, we're back. This is the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. Just having some phone trouble with my first guest, J. Paul Daratani. We'll just take a break and come back here in a second. If we can't get him, then we'll go to our next interview. Love live radio. You know, it's lots of fun. It's just one of those things that happens. So we'll be back in a minute. And if I get the cell phone issue straightened out, then we'll be back with J. Paul Daratani. If not, our next guest. You are listening to the Dana Pretzer Show on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network.
If I were a carpenter and you were a lady, would you marry me anyway? Would you have my baby? If a tinker were my trade, would you still find me carrying the pots I made, following behind me? Save my love through loneliness, save my love for sorrow. I've given you my onlyness, come and give me your tomorrow. If I worked my hands in wood, would you still love me? Answer me, baby, yes I would. I'll put you above me. If I were a miller, at a mill wheel grinding, would you miss your color box, your soft shoes shining? If I were a carpenter and you were a lady, would you marry me anyway? Would you have my baby? Would you marry me anyway? Would you have my baby?
Okay, we're back. This is the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. My name is Dana Pretzer, and we call this the Dana Pretzer Show. My first guest, J. Paul Daratani, the attorney for the Melinda Duckett family, is having phone issues, so I thought I would give Dave Holloway a call. Dave, how are you?
Doing okay. Thanks.
Nice to have you on the air. Obviously, it's been a hectic 2 weeks. Some news came out today that the three suspects, the Kelpo brothers and Joran van der Sloot, are still suspects. I'd like to get your reaction to that.
That is correct. Jossie Mansour confirmed it today that the three are going to continue to be held. Of course, they've got to do something, I think, by May the 30th or 31st.
Right.
So, you know, it's good news. It tells me that Karen Jansen did a good job in showing the judge that they did have additional evidence to continue holding these guys.
Now, it's a judge will never admit this, and a lawyer will probably never admit this, but I think it's something that we need to discuss. There's been a lot of media in the last little while. The DeVries program, Jossie Mansour on my program came out with some information. There's the lineup show. In fact, even civil attorney Joe DeCapina, losing his marbles last week on the lineup program. Do you think that had anything to do with the decision today, or is that just simply the evidence still shows these guys are suspects, and there is a possibility that there may be some answers?
Well, you know, you would hope that a judge would look at everything based on the evidence and not influences from the media or anything like that.
Exactly.
So I don't know who these judges are or who the judge that made the decision, but I would hope that it would be based on evidence alone.
J. Jossie Mansour, who has been a guest on my program many times, and of course you know, and has been someone who has been very vocal as far as the type of investigation or lack thereof that has been going on in Aruba, has been criticized in the media here in the last little while. I'm not sure if you saw it. You may have, you may not have. I'm curious to get your comments about Jossie Mansour and some of these attacks that have been going towards him.
Well, you know, Jossie, you know, he's been around a long time, and he's been in situations like this before where people have attacked him, and he's a pretty strong guy, and I think that he wants to report the news and report it the way it's supposed to be reported. And, you know, I don't think he's concerned about politics or anything like that.
Have you seen the DeVries program or a translated transcript of the DeVries program, and what can you say about it?
Well, as a matter of fact, I received a copy of it directly from DeVries in the mail today, and unfortunately, Dana, I didn't understand much of the Dutch, but I can make out that he's digging,
right?
And maybe he'll come up with some stuff. I know that the last couple of weeks he's come up with some information that kind of surprised us all, especially this issue about Jorn's attorney.
And that's something that I was going to ask you about too. You know better than anyone in this case the, well, we can use the term corruption and the incompetence that has been going on. Did you ever think that you would hear some of the things that are coming out now?
Well, Larry Garris and I, the publisher or the guy who helped us write the book, you know, we had suspicions of corruption or whatever you call it going on, and then it's starting to see its face, you know, especially as time goes on, more and more things are coming out about the judge and the search warrant being reduced, and you know those type things. And you know, you always have suspicions, and you know, a lot of times your suspicions come true, and it's coming true now.
Bill O'Reilly said on his Fox program here last week that he believes that Aruba never wanted to solve this case, and his explanation, one of the points was, is about the search warrant being changed on the spot. I'm curious what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I think he's right. You know, when we got on the island, Dana, you know, Beth was the first one to arrive, and then she kind of forced the issue of you know, the police taking some action and actually taking the three kids' witness statements.
Right.
And then I arrived the next day, and I was basically told that they didn't have anything to do with it, in spite of the fact that if you read those statements on Scared Monkey's website and or Blocks for Natalie, two of those statements refer to a question being asked about the fishermen's huts. And how could they even ask that question if it was not given by Jorn, because he gave the first statement? So it tells me that the police knew that they were lying from the beginning, and yet what did they do? They went and arrested some security guards. And then it tells me that, you know, more and more time was given for them to practice their statements. As we read through those statements, you see that they were going to Jorn's house and practicing on their story. And then they lined up all their attorneys and got everything in place prior to their arrest. The subsequent statements they gave, you know, that's where the Holiday Inn story fell apart and things started breaking up. But, you know, it's kind of ironic that we hear that a representative from the court system was at the house, and a prosecutor or another prosecutor reduced the search warrant right at the scene.
Wow.
You know, that's troublesome.
That's not only troublesome, it's absolutely bizarre. If you're just tuning in, Dave Holloway is with me. We're talking about the disappearance of his daughter, Natalie, and recent events and updates from the island of Aruba. Joe Mamana has been going through his own personal hell here in the last little while. He's been very vocal, both on my program and across news media around the world, as far as his support in the search for your daughter, Natalie. A question that has come up, Dave, is the reward. Is there still a reward on the table for information regarding the disappearance of Natalie?
The reward is still there. Same amount, $250,000.
Your thoughts on Joe Mamana's troubles?
Well, he kind of got wound up. That's about all I can say about it. He's, you know, he's a defense lawyer, and, you know, he's going to defend Joran, whether he's guilty, innocent, or whatever. You know, that's his client. He's got to do what's in his best interest. So do I like, you know, you ask everyone, do we like it? Well, certainly not, but, you know, that's what he was hired to do.
This whole statute of limitations and a Rubin law, a couple of callers before I brought you on the air, Dave and I were discussing how bizarre it is and how difficult it is to understand. The note that I have here, it says, the judge decided today that the three suspects stay suspects, so Karen Johnson has 5 months to come up with some new evidence. Now, it's been reported many times, both in my program and others, that there is no statute of limitations as far as murder in Aruba. But can you shed some light on this whole suspect or not suspect and what has to happen in 5 months, or if something comes up before or after then?
I couldn't hear you. Rephrase that again?
Sure. The whole statute of limitations issue as far as murder goes, we know that there is no statute of limitations for murder in Aruba. However, the suspects, something has to come up now in the next 5 months, or they can be eliminated as suspects. However, after that five-month period, if new information comes forward, what can be done? Can you shed a little light on that, please? Because everyone seems to be mixed up. It's definitely goofy law over there.
You know, I had a conversation with Peter and Vinda back early on. You know, my memory is that I think for murder, they had a case where they brought charges. About 14 years later, all the other crimes or whatever that they've been, I guess, possibly going to be charged with or whatever, I wouldn't be able to answer that question. But I do know that murder was past the 2 years. So the issue about suspect and non-suspect, from what I understand, I heard one of the attorneys for the Calpo brothers indicate that if you're released as a suspect, then the police can no longer investigate you directly. And if they do, then there could be some penalties for that, because once you're released as a suspect, then they cannot investigate you directly. Now, I think they can indirectly through other witnesses, but that is what that's for.
Last time I had you on the program, Dave, the cold case.
Well, let me clear up something, Dan.
Sure.
I meant to say Joe Tacopino instead
yep.
of Joe Mamano as
right.
far as the attorney. I'm sorry about that.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I knew what you meant,
and
the question I asked was about Joe Mamano. I was actually going to get to Tacopino in a little bit, too, but Joe Mamano has had his own troubles, I should say, and I was just curious if you had a comment on Joe Mamano's problems.
You know, I never have met the guy or had any conversation with him or anything like that, Dana. That's all been handled through Beth.
Right.
I did hear that he was arrested for a gun charge, and that's about all I know. All I know about the man is what I see on the news. So,
okay,
never met him and wouldn't know him if I ran into him.
Okay, fair enough. Well, both Joe Mamano and Joe Tacopina have both had their problems here in the last little while. Dave, last time I had you on the air, we were talking about the cold case investigation, and at that time you weren't sure if you'd get information. Have you heard anything more about that?
You know, I met a Dutch investigator probably 3 months ago who had information that he knew some of the people on the investigative team, and I provided him with some information that he could share with them. But as far as who they are, who's on the team, that's been, you know, they've been staying under the radar, which no one knows what they're doing or if they're doing anything. So, you know, we just hadn't heard. All we know is from what the FBI told us was that the Dutch police are taking over the investigation, that's all they were willing to tell us.
Has the American government helped your family enough with this, Dave? Your daughter goes to a foreign country. She disappears. She's believed to have been killed. Has the American government, I know some state governments have been vocal, but we sure haven't heard much about that lately.
No, we haven't. You know, they've helped us to the extent of what they can help us within their jurisdiction. You know, when you leave the borders of this country and you're a U.S. citizen, there's only so much they can do. And once, you know, once you arrive on the island of Aruba, they have no jurisdiction. They have to be invited on the island. So what they're doing now, obviously they're not going to tell us. So if they're doing anything. So
have you had any correspondence from the government of Aruba?
Well, we hadn't had any response from anyone in probably 6 months.
And that includes Karen Johnson?
Yes.
Jossie Mansour said on my program last week that he, well, he reported on my program last week that Karen Johnson was retiring and leaving Aruba and there would be a new prosecutor. Have you been informed of that?
No. All I know is what's been reported, you know, through the news media and on the internet. We've sent her a couple of emails and regarding these three suspects.
Right.
We heard that there was a hearing and if she would let us know, and she did not respond to that as well.
No response to even that. Tough question for you here, Dave. Christmas is just around the corner. How do you handle this as a dad, as a family? It's got to be just heart-wrenching. I know every day is heart-wrenching, but, you know, with the family holidays and Christmas and all that sort of stuff coming up, let's talk about that a little bit. Maybe a message to some other families that have missing loved ones. How do you stay strong?
Well, you know, of course, you have to have a strong faith in God, and then you have a strong family that helps you along with friends and support. You know, there's not a day that goes by that you don't think about what happened, and a lot of times it can literally consume you to the point where, you know, you become non-functional, and you have to, you know, get yourself out of that and try to get back to doing things that you were doing prior to her disappearance, and, you know, just, you know, going through the motions and not let it consume all your day. You know, you've got, I have three other children and a spouse, so, and, you know, family and other family and friends. And, you know, at one time we, you know, I was in Aruba for 75 days, and when I'd come home, I was on the computer and on the phone and doing interviews, and, you know, and you got to step back and say, you know, I've got other family, so, and other family members that, you know, we've got to care and support for. So it's tough. All the holidays that come through, you know, you sit back and you try to block it out of your mind that hey, she's you know, with her mom or, you know, somewhere else. And you know, time has a way of helping things, but you know, still there, and you'll never forget about it.
Absolutely. And I can guarantee you this, Dave, that the majority of people want you to be able to get answers in this case, and for you able to be able to bring Natalie home, and justice to be served. I had an email earlier tonight. It said justice for Natalie Ann Holloway, and I think that should be justice for Natalie Ann Holloway and her family. You're always welcome on my program, sir, and let's keep our fingers crossed, and hopefully something will come forward very soon.
Okay. Thanks, Dana.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. Bye-bye.
That's Dave Holloway. An update on his missing daughter, Natalie Ann Holloway. You're listening to The Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. We'll be back in just a minute.
We will not tire, we will not falter, and we will not fail. Wanted, dead or alive, America wants them brought to justice. That's what we want, to get them running and to find them and to hunt them down. But we're going to smoke them out. Whether we bring our enemies to justice or bring justice to our enemies, justice will be done.
Wanted dead or alive. But make no mistake about it.
Okay, we're back. This is the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. My name's Dana Pretzer, and just by coincidence, we call this the Dana Pretzer Show. My first guest is now my second guest. Attorney J. Paul Derritani is here. I thought I'd invite him back on the program to give us an update as far as the Melinda Duckett, Trenton Duckett, Nancy Grace situation. Something that has fallen off the media screen a little bit here in the last little while. However, there was some information, I think, last week about a person of interest. J. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Dana. How are you?
I'm fine, sir. I'm fine. Nice to have you. There's some new information, both involving the lawsuit against CNN and Nancy Grace, plus a new person of interest. I thought I'd bring you on the program. You can give my listeners an update.
Sure, absolutely.
Sorry about that. You've got to love live radio. You can bump into things and drop stuff, and you can't edit it out. What's going on with the lawsuit? We haven't heard much of that lately in the media. There's a new filing, or you're amending your filing?
Yes, what we're going to be doing is amending the filing to name Nancy Grace further and to explore. What we're going to do is file an amended, it's called an amended count,
right,
which is basically accusing her or stating that she has interfered in a police investigation. It's called tortious interference in a police investigation.
Have you had
Have
you had response back from her attorneys or CNN? When I had you on the show last, you hadn't heard back from them except for there was a little snippet in the media, I think.
Interestingly enough, the CNN attorneys just refused service on the lawsuit. They're a Delaware corporation, and their registered agents just stated that they weren't going to accept the lawsuit because they said that we had the wrong corporate designation. We don't think that we do, and so we're going to just drop it off, and then they can try to quash service. I think that being somewhat petty, what happens in the law is usually between attorneys or registered agents just accept service because they know it's inevitable anyway.
Right.
And then they, and we move forward. And it looks like they're going to be fighting us every step of the way, even at the very beginning of the lawsuit.
Well, delay tactics aren't going to do anything as far as getting answers in this case.
I wouldn't think so. And it's an interesting sort of technique, but perhaps they think it's going to work. I don't know. It baffled my mind in 18 years of practice. I don't see people, especially corporations, refusing service of summons
of the lawsuit, it seems to be, you know, an unnecessary move.
Maybe this is an unfair question and one you can't comment on, but what has the reaction been as far as the lawsuit goes? Just before I started the program, just to refresh my memory, I went on and I looked at the interview again. It's still up on the internet and other places. And I picked out some things and made notes to myself just listening to the interrogation, and I'll use that word. That's not your word, that's mine, that Nancy Grace gave Melinda. And one of the things that I heard, and I didn't hear the first couple of times, is when Nancy was asking Melinda questions, and she very quietly, Melinda, but you can hear it, said, "They told me not to." She said that she had spoken to the FBI and that she had had problems with the media, and Nancy Grace asked her a question about why won't you tell us what store you were at, or words to that effect, I'm paraphrasing, but I heard Melinda say very quietly but very clearly, "They told me not to," but the interrogation continued. I'm curious on your comments of that, and I never picked that up the first time.
That's exactly right. That is part of the reason why we're amending the complaint to say that she interfered in a police investigation. My understanding and what we think that will be shown in the discovery of this lawsuit as we get through the lawsuit, that process, is that Melinda was told not to talk about where she was that day.
Right.
She was supposed to talk with the police, not with Nancy Grace.
Yep.
And I come back to that point that any journalist certainly has a proper role of investigating, you know, being an investigatory journalist, asking the type of questions, trying to get the probing story as any good journalist will be. But once you start painting that scarlet letter on somebody and you start accusing somebody or impliedly accusing them of something before you have the facts, that's a dangerous role to take. And even the police don't do that. So in this case, you're exactly right, Dana, that Melinda was told, we understand that Melinda was told, you know, don't talk about where you were and the facts of the investigation itself. That's something that will be talked about later. And that may have been through her own attorney. Her own attorney specifically told her, you know, hold off on talking about the specifics of the case. And I think what will come out is the FBI also said that. So, you know, Nancy Grace just had no business to infer by the fact that she couldn't answer a question because she was told not to, that somehow makes her complicit in either a murder or the disappearance of her son.
Absolutely. If you're just tuning in, J. Paul Derritani is here, and we're talking about the Melinda Duckett, Trenton Duckett case. It came out in the media last week or the week before about a person of interest in the Sheriff's Department that is investigating the disappearance, even hinted towards the fact that Trenton may still be alive. Can you update us on that, sir?
Well, I know as much as this. They do have a person of interest. He's of Korean descent, I believe. I can't pronounce his name offhand, but he's an individual that there's been some report that he may have, and I'm not sure if he may have either failed a lie detector test or it was inconclusive, or the police are investigating his whereabouts on the night that the baby was missing, and he hasn't given clear answers. They're investigating that further, and they've been pretty tight-lipped, which is a good thing.
Right.
They, you know, we don't want to do the same thing that Nancy does, which is automatically accuse this gentleman of the crime.
Yes.
But I do think it's interesting that Nancy Grace was so quick to jump on the bandwagon and accuse somebody or impliedly accuse somebody of committing a crime before she had sufficient facts, and now we find out there is another person of interest that they're looking at. I think the proper role is we simply allow the police to do their job, allow the FBI to do their job. And I think that some interesting facts, from what I understand, some very interesting things are going to come out in the next few weeks. We don't know everything yet, but I'm hearing little bits and pieces.
Well, we certainly hope, and I know I do, and my audience does, that some answers do come forward, and the whole question as far as media ethics and responsibility is answered. Because, again, you know, J. Paul, I watched that video, and I listened, and I put myself in the role of a police officer, and if I'm questioning somebody and they say, stop I can't say anything. I need to talk to a lawyer. And I keep badgering them and keep interrogating them. My interrogation is not going to be worth the powder to blow it to hell. And the responsibility and the role of a media host or a talk show host or a news show host is not to interrogate, but it is to commentate and report on the facts. And in my opinion, she just went too far.
I think that's exactly right. I also think that, like we said last time on your show, the police have that specific type of training.
Yep.
When you get into these type of missing person cases, the FBI might get involved, and they have really specific training on psychological interrogation techniques. And to step on their toes or to involve yourself as a journalist into the police role really takes on a dangerous role. And what happens is that baby's still missing.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you that the Eubank family, the parents of Melinda, are still very concerned about finding the baby, and we're contemplating, and I may as well let you be the first one to know this, we're contemplating, and I'm going to personally put money towards a reward. And if we can offer $30,000 or $50,000 to somebody with information to try to bring the baby home before Christmas, then, you know, we're going to do it. So that's our primary goal. And unfortunately, with Melinda gone, if, and that's a big if she had any information, that information is gone with her.
J. Paul Deratani, thanks for coming on the program. I appreciate it, and I'll stay in touch, and we'll have you on again.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dana.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. That's an update on the Melinda Duckett case. We'll be back in a minute with the bravest 11-year-old that I know. Hope you're listening, Pat. Pat Badraha and his mom and his battle against leukemia. You're listening to the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Uno, dos, one, two, tres, cuatro.
Okay, we're back. This is the Dana Pretzer program on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network for December 7th, 2006. Our webpage is www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. There you can listen to podcasts of the week's previous show, month's previous show. You can hear the daily commentaries. You can leave comments, whatever. It's always nice to have you there. One of the bravest 11-year-old boys or children that I've talked to in my time on this earth is a young fellow by the name of Pat Badraha. He's battling leukemia, and he came up with an idea to sell ad space on his head, and this came in just before, it's a fantastic idea, this came in just before I started the program tonight. It comes from Claudine and Pat. Claudine is Pat's mom, and they have a fundraising program going on called Driving for Donors, and I encourage you to go to that webpage, www.drivingfordonors.com. And this was sent to my producer, Red. It says, Red, I just want to make sure the email, we wanted to update you the eBay auction results and hopes that you can include this in the information in the radio show tonight. Absolutely. The winning bidder on our first sold auction was All Road Communications in San Diego, California. They are a provider of satellite phones and services. They gave Driving for Donors a satellite phone today so that we can always have a service while we are on our drive. Pat is so excited because the satellite phone is the same one that's in the new James Bond movie. Again, thanks for your help and involvement. I recorded this interview a couple of days ago. Again, if you were to describe Courage, this young boy's name would come forward. Larry Garrison is helping the family. He's working as their spokesperson, and hopefully we'll be able to get them some more national media attention because it is a cause very worthwhile. Here's my interview with Pat Bedraja and his mom. Please stay tuned. Okay, we're back. You're listening to the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. My name's Dana Pretzer, and this is the Dana Pretzer Show. Talking about stories that mean a lot to me as a parent, and mean a lot to you as listeners and as parents and people who care, I thought I'd bring on a couple of folks tonight who are doing something to help with cancer research, in particular leukemia, bone marrow. Pat Bedraja and his mom, Claudine Andrews. And I want you to go to this website. Do it right now. www.drivingfordonors.com, or just go to the scaredmonkeys.com webpage, and you'll see the story about Pat and his mom. And the heading here says, "Putting his head where his heart is, Pat Bedraja, boy in Florida with leukemia, is selling ad space on his head to raise money." Pat and Claudine, welcome to the Dana Pretzer Show. How are you both doing?
I'm doing good today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Mom, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having us.
You got a brave boy, Claudine, that, you know, when you sit back and you measure courage, and I, from reading the articles and stuff here, I know Pat describes himself as being stubborn. I would say a little bit more than that. I'd say he's strong, and he's got more courage than most people that I know. Talk about your boy a little bit here.
Very special. He always has been, and he amazes me on a daily basis with his strength and his courage and his motivation to help others.
And that's what this is all about. Pat, let's talk about your project here, and it's a lot more than just the ad space on your forehead, which, by the way, is a good idea. And there's a lot of executives that are in business that think of ideas for sales that wouldn't have come up with something like that. But there's more to it than that. Tell us a little bit about Driving for Donors and what your ultimate goal here is.
My ultimate goal here is to try to get a match. That's my top goal. One of my secondary goals is to try to sign people up to be on the National Marrow Registry, and all you need is just a cheek swab. I mean, it doesn't really hurt. All you need is a cheek swab.
And it's not that big of a deal, is it?
No. And then you get on the National Registry, and if they need your bone marrow, they'll call you up and they'll get it from you.
Claudine,
really doesn't hurt.
No, that's right, and that's an important thing. And a lot of people sometimes are leery to donate blood or to get involved with a marrow or donation registry because they think there's pain involved. But Claudine, the important thing for people to understand here is that not always are family members compatible as far as donors.
That's right. 70% of the time, when someone needs a bone marrow transplant, they will not find a match in their own family, and they need to go to the National Marrow Donor Program Registry to look for a match. And one of the problems is there is a huge shortage of donors on the registry for minorities. And so actually what started Patrick on the drive was he saw a show on TV about an African-American woman named Brit Gray who had leukemia and needed a marrow transplant. And she couldn't find a match. She ended up passing away, and Patrick took that really, really hard. And he said, I have to do something to help. And as we researched it, we found out that all minorities, African-American, Hispanic, Indian, Asian, and Caucasian, everyone who looks on that registry is looking for a match, and a lot of people don't join. So that's our real goal, to get awareness and have people join the registry.
Pat, how long have you known that you've had leukemia?
Since March of this year.
Since March of this year?
I came into the hospital because I had back pain, and they took a test, and they said that I had leukemia.
Okay. And when you came up with the idea of being able to try and raise awareness and try and raise money and try and raise the public's understanding as far as the bone marrow registry and trying to get a match for yourself, of course, how long from the time that you knew that you had leukemia till you came up with the idea did it take?
I think that it was in this August, right, Mom?
That's right. It was August that he came up with the idea, but let me tell you, he doesn't need a match for himself.
Okay.
He's doing great with his treatment.
Oh, okay.
It is all about helping others.
Okay. Well, you know, and I would not be afraid to say that it's to help Pat, too, because this is important. But if he's doing great, that's the main thing. How you been feeling, bud?
I've been feeling good. I want to ask you a quick question. Are you on the National Marrow Registry?
No, I'm not. And you know what? I'm going to be after we're done this interview.
You.
Because that's what this is all about, and it's education. And Pat, how do you educate people? And you're doing it the right way, but how do you educate people when it comes to an illness, and especially young kids who are very frightened and afraid when they hear things like this, and sometimes parents who are so scared they just don't know what to do?
It's okay to be scared about this. And it's okay not to understand it, but through when you educate yourself about it with maybe research or maybe there's some educational stuff on this, like Charlie Brown had something about leukemia.
Mm-hmm.
So, and so that it'll educate people.
And Claudine, you know, as a parent, we all sit back and when our kids are small and they get the flu or a cold or we have to hospitalize them for something, but ultimately you hope and you pray that this type of diagnosis never involves your children or you. We've always said that I would sooner be sick than have my children sick. Talk about it from the parent's perspective a little bit. You've got a brave son here. I'm just in the 15 minutes that we've been talking on the phone here. I'm growing to admire this young man and his braveness. Talk about it from the parent's perspective a little bit. And if you had a message for other parents out there, what would that be?
So brave. And he teaches me about courage and bravery every single day. We go to the hospital 3 days a week. And I for chemo treatments, and I watch him do things that, you know, I would take the pain from him in a heartbeat, but he does things that I cringe at, and he breezes right through it. So that's amazing. The kids are so full of courage. First was diagnosed, I was terrified to tell him that he had leukemia. I couldn't even imagine telling a child that they have cancer, and he took it so well, and he digested it, and, you know, he said, well, is that cancer? Is that what I have? Because I was too scared to say that C word, you know?
Right, yeah. That C word, Pat.
And he said, okay, I'm going to be okay. And, you know, one of the things about bravery that I want to mention to you is that 2 days after he was diagnosed, he turned to me, and he said, Mom, I'm glad this happened to me. I'm glad I got leukemia. It's going to teach me something. And I said, well, what do you mean, Pat? I thought that he thought he was bad and he deserved this.
Mm.
And he said, this is going to teach me a lesson that I need to know in life. I don't know what it is yet, but it's going to help me live my life. And I'm going to learn what it is, and I'm glad this happened. And, you know, that was so amazing to me that this 11-year-old, he was 10 at the time,
mm-hmm.
could say that. And that's what I mean, that he teaches me about bravery on just a daily basis.
Right. Pat, the C word, your mom called it, and that was a tough word to say. Is it still tough for you to say that?
Oh, I mean, I can say it a million times fast. It doesn't bother me. I am okay with it now. But at the time, I didn't think of it like that. It was still made me cringe.
Mm-hmm.
Rather call it leukemia than cancer. But now I don't really care. You can call it whatever you have. I have it.
And how you been feeling?
About now, I've been feeling okay, but not the best. And I think it's going to head up from now on.
Right on, right on. Let's talk about your webpage a little bit and bids and how people can do that, Pat. Where do they go?
They go to for the bids.
Right.
They go to eBay or to our website, and then if on our website, drivingfordonors.com, there's a link to see the eBay ad itself.
Okay.
And you click on that link, and you can see it, and it has a story on it.
What can we do, Pat, and then Claudine, if you could answer after Pat, as public and as news media, to help educate the public when it comes to these types of programs like the bone marrow donor program and other education programs as far as cancer. What can we do, Pat? How can I help you even more?
If you could just get the word out there to everybody so we can try to get as much awareness to help to save people's lives. If you make a match, you save a life.
That's what this is all about, Claudine.
Well, a lot of people don't know that the Driving for Donors, as I said, was the event that Patrick came up with after he heard about Greet Gray passing away.
Right.
And it's going to be a national bone marrow drive where we're going to drive around the country, stopping in 25 major cities, hosting bone marrow drives with the local communities. So there's an opportunity for people all over the country to get involved. Unlike giving blood, when you join the National Marrow Registry, it costs $52 a person.
Mm-hmm.
Raise money to pay those fees for people so they'll join. So one of our incentives, Pat's slogan is 2007 new donors in 2007. And to do that, we need to raise $105,000 in tissue typing fees alone. Goal.
Well, it's certainly a worthy cause. And Patrick, you, my friend, for 11 years old, have the courage and the bravery of more people than I've ever known, and I applaud you. Claudine, you have a brave young son. I want you both to just stay on the line for a minute. And again, that website, the Driving for Donors, Pat, is?
Sorry, what?
What's your website again, Pat? The Driving for Donors?
Donors.com.
Drivingfordonors.com. And there's a link to the eBay part of it, too, also.
You can also make donations on the web.
There's a PayPal button. Sorry, Mom.
That's okay. There's a PayPal link there, too, is there?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. We'll be right back here on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. Special thanks to Pat Bedroja and Claudine Andrews. And again, that website, go there now, www.drivingfordonors.com. We'll be right back.
I'm in love with the girl that I'm talking about. I'm in love with the girl I can't live. To be in love.
I can't live without, I'm in love.
Okay, we're back. This is the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. My name's Dana Pretzer, and just by coincidence, we call this the Dana Pretzer Show. A story that touched all of our hearts and was very prevalent in the news media was that about George Smith. We haven't seen much about it lately, but I want to read you a little something here and then play you a bit of audio and then introduce my guest. 8 days into George and Jennifer Smith's dream honeymoon cruise aboard the Royal Caribbean ship Brilliance of Seas, something went terribly wrong. Passengers two floors below Smith's cabin woke up on the morning of July 5th and noticed a metal overhang above the lifeboat covered with blood. Somehow George Smith had gone overboard and was lost at sea. Since he went missing, his distraught family, parents George, Marie, and sister Bree, have been highly critical of how the cruise line responded to George's disappearance. I've got a little piece of audio I want to play you now, which was the captain's message about during the cruise about the disappearance, and then I'll introduce my guest. So just take a listen to this audio, and then we'll be right back with my guest.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Captain Michael. May I get your attention, please? As some of you may notice today, we have been a bit of unusual activity on board the ship. The crew and I have been working with the local authorities and some guests on board to investigate whether a person may have gone overboard last night, or I can say early this morning. We hope to have the issue resolved shortly. I repeat the same announcement. As some of you may notice today, we have been a bit of unusual activity on board the ship. The crew and myself have been working with the local authorities and some guests on board to investigate whether a person may have gone overboard last night or very early this morning. We hope to have this issue resolved shortly. And very soon we will be ready for our departure. The next port of call is Santorini Island. The distance to Santorini is 132 nautical miles. The required time, 10 hours, 30 minutes, on an average speed of 13 knots. To be exact, it's 12.6. The weather, from the beginning, we're going to have some northerly moderate and locally strong winds, and the seas moderate. Estimated time of arrival in Santorini is 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. The sunset for tonight is 8:35 minutes after 8 o'clock, and the sunrise is 6:08, 8 minutes after 6 o'clock. After we sail from Kusadasi, we will take a course close to Samos Island. So you will have the chance to see the island where I was born and I still live there. So this will be happening by 8:30 tonight. On our port side will be Samos Island. Thank you for your attention and have a good evening.
Well, that issue that the captain talked about was nowhere near resolved, and it just angers me to hear such a nonchalant announcement about somebody who may have gone overboard. You know, I'm chuckling, but it's an angry chuckle, because that announcement from the captain was pathetic. George Smith's sister Bree joins us this evening to give us an update on the investigation. Bree, welcome to the Scared Monkeys Radio Network.
Thank you for having me on, Dana.
That piece of audio, obviously you've heard it, is, I thought, a slap in the face to your family. It's very nonchalant, and it was more, here's the island that I was born on, or whatever it was, I forget now, and this issue will be resolved shortly. It certainly wasn't, and we've gone on all this time. Tell us a little bit about the case, because it's been a while since we've seen this in the media, and what the status is today.
Well, we have been quiet in the media, but you shouldn't confuse that with inactivity. We've been very active behind the scenes.
Good.
Pushing for legislative reform with our Cruise Line Accurate Safety Statistics Act. And also with the investigation that's going. You know, Dana, there is a very active and open investigation into my brother's murder, both by the FBI and by our private detective, Vito Colucci. So although we're not going on, you know, network TV or cable TV and discussing it on a weekly basis, believe you me, there are definitely things going on behind the scenes, and we're not letting this go.
Nor you should. And any family member that I have on, I had Dave Holloway on earlier, and then we were talking about the Duckett case earlier. It's your right as a family to get answers that you deserve, and you're not getting the answers. And these floating cities, and I think it's a fair statement for me to say that, are floating danger pits. I hate to say it that way, but you're taking your chance when you get on board these things, because we're not hearing a lot in the media about the people that do disappear. We hear about the sickness that goes on, but these things are just garbage.
Yeah, it's shocking. You know, I didn't realize until George disappeared that someone could disappear from a cruise ship. And when we got the original call on the morning of July 5th, you know, there's a time difference, so it was later there in Turkey,
right,
saying that George was missing. We assumed he was on the ship somewhere, and you know, it was beyond our comprehension that he could have gone in the water. Little did we know that, you know, this is a far more common experience than realized in the past, and it's very disconcerting. And I think that since George's disappearance and since we founded International Cruise Victims Organization with Kendall Carver, only now do we realize the true extent of missing persons and cruise crime, and it's astounding. And I don't think anyone realized this before, Dana, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that these are corporations. For instance, Royal Caribbean, where my brother went missing from, is a Liberian corporation,
right,
and it's a Bahamian-flagged vessel. So, you know, basically, they're doing everything possible to stay out of accountability and liability in the United States. When the captain labeled my brother's murder an accident and said it was because a drunken passenger accidentally fell overboard, he did that in a casualty report to the Bahamian government. The extent, you know, to which the Bahamian government actually followed up on that report, I have no idea. But thankfully, I called the Connecticut FBI on the first day of my brother's disappearance, and you know, they've have really taken this on, and they're very active, and we have full confidence that it will be solved. It's obviously taking longer than we would have liked, but, you know, from the beginning, we've had faith in the FBI, and we continue to do so.
The jurisdictional issues aside, the support or lack thereof from the cruise ship line, and like you say, the ship is flagged one way, murder happened in another jurisdictional issue. The FBI is able to help you. That's a good thing. Talking to Dave Holloway and his daughter missing in Aruba, the FBI isn't able to help. Where do you see this investigation? And that's why I'm a little disappointed in the mainstream media. They'll spend time talking about somebody drinking champagne on an airplane, but they don't talk about the seriousness of an issue like a floating city on these cruise lines, 10,000 people or 5 or 8 or however many are on them, and the high crime rate that's going on and the things that are happening. How do you, Bree, get the message out to the people? And is this strictly a follow-the-money trail issue for the cruise lines, that they are trying to sweep you under the carpet so they can keep making all their money?
Oh, definitely. You know, they have been pushing for my family to settle and to go away and to keep our mouths shut, but that's not going to work with us. You know, we want to stay in it to the bitter end. We want to hear them swear, you know, with their hands on the Bible in court that they did everything right, which is, you know, what they claim. You know, just a breaking story that will be coming out soon, Dana, is that the statistics that were provided in Congress by Royal Caribbean were these are the crime statistics I'm referring to,
right,
were far smaller than the statistics in their own internal records, which were recently provided through, you know, court documents. And this is going to be a breaking story in the news. So even the crime statistics that people have talked about, you know, on the Internet and on cable and network TV, these were even inaccurate and low. So it's incredible the actual amount of crime on these ships. And now, because they're having trouble getting people on the cruise ships, they're lowering the prices. And, you know, I say to you, Dana, is it worth, you know, getting cheaper tickets to go and put your life on the line? What people don't realize is, you know, when you get on these boats, you're entering a foreign country.
Right.
And, you know, as one of the victims said at the second congressional hearing in March that was held on this issue, there should be a sign up that says, enter at your own risk.
Yep.
That's what you're doing.
Absolutely. Let's talk about security on these floating boats. What sort of security typically is provided on a cruise line?
Well, you know, from what I understand and the research that my family and also our organization has done, they're poorly trained. And I think what's most important is, you know, they have reverse incentives. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned before when you were talking to Dave Holloway that Aruba didn't have the incentive, you know, they didn't actually want the crime solved.
Right.
But we have a very similar situation here. The cruise line does not want the crime solved. They don't want anyone to know that there was a murder on the boat. You know, in the past when there's been missing persons, to the extent it has come out in the media, which is very, you know, very little,
right,
they've said, oh, the person was depressed and they jumped overboard or it was an accident. Well, you know, it hurts their bottom line to admit that there was a murder on their ship and the perpetrator or perpetrators remain free at large to commit this crime again. And, you know, Dana, I think this is really concerning because when they rushed the Turkish police on and off the boat in order to move on to the next port in Greece, they left murderer or murderers on board with the passengers. I mean, how scary is this? If I was a passenger, I'd be outraged.
No, absolutely. Some of the last cable coverage I know that I saw, and I think probably some of the last cable coverage, was on Fox News, I believe. There were some forensics. The cabins were being gone through, and some forensics were trying to be obtained. In fact, I think it was Dr. Henry Lee that was looking at them. Can you comment, maybe you're not able to, but can you comment on the forensics? And has there been any more physical evidence obtained since then?
Unfortunately, in order for Dr. Lee to be permitted to enter the boat, we have to sign a confidentiality, or our attorney signed a confidentiality agreement that, you know, the results of the investigation would not be made public.
Fair enough.
I can say that Dr. Lee did find something, but unfortunately, you know, by the time Dr. Lee got on the boat, which was, I believe, December,
right,
it had been a long time since my brother's death, and so, you know, there was a limited amount that remained there. For instance, they had pulled up the carpets. And it would seem to me that, you know, that would be an ample place for forensic evidence, and unfortunately it was already gone.
Right.
And, you know, we have had witnesses come forward in the past and say that before the FBI got on that boat, which was several days after my brother's murder, they had the cleaning crew in there with vacuums, with cleaning products, dusting, vacuuming, mopping, wiping. So, sadly, by the time the FBI actually got on the boat, you know, we don't even know what was left for the FBI, but thankfully the Turkish police did get on. Of course, before the Turkish police even got on, according to the documentation that Royal Caribbean has provided us, which is very little, unfortunately, but according to one document that they actually did provide, seven of their crew members traipsed through that room even before the Turkish police, you know, got on board. And that's by their own account. They were in the room taking photographs, so that they would have evidence of what the room looked like for, I guess, possible lawsuits in the future. But,
sure,
you know, this is, when my brother went missing, we were not thinking about suing Royal Caribbean. We're thinking about, where is George?
Finding your
Where
brother.
Can we find him? What can we do to help him? But apparently, instead of, you know, that wasn't Royal Caribbean's first thought. Royal Caribbean's first thought was, let's take pictures of this crime scene and see how long we could delay the Turkish police getting on board, and then rushing off the Turkish police as quickly as possible so they could get on to the next port.
Tell us a little bit about George Smith. That's one thing that the mainstream media misses when we report about missing persons cases or high-profile cases. We don't talk about the person. Tell us a little bit about your brother.
He was 26, and as you said, he was recently married. That was his honeymoon cruise. He was very bright and very sociable. Is very considerate. I think one of his main characteristics was how hysterically funny he was. He,
mm-hmm,
you know, was a clown around his family and friends and always had us in stitches. You know, he enjoyed life. And I think that's what we're very happy about now, because, you know, he had such a short life that at least he did get to enjoy what he was given, which was 26 years, and you know, he had the best time at his wedding. You know, he was so joyous, and he was so excited to go off on his cruise. Dana, we had been on numerous cruises as a family, Carnival, Royal Caribbean, Norwegian. We had been on all the cruise lines and had no idea that this happened, and it was just such a shock to us, and we realized that if we didn't know about it, then other people didn't know about it either, and the consumer has a right to know. You have a right to know the crime record of a ship and how they handle crimes against passengers before you pay your hard-earned dollars to go on a cruise ship.
And I was just about to ask you, your message for someone who's listening tonight that's considering and taking a cruise, say, over the holidays or in the new year?
Like I said, enter at your own risk. You know, it's not to their best interest to help you if you've been a victim of a crime. It's in their best interest to cover it up so that their bottom line is not affected. You know, to Royal Caribbean, what matters is not the passenger safety, not bringing perpetrators to justice. What matters is covering it up and keeping their profit margin high and going about their business. But, Dana, this has gone on too long now, and there's too many of us that have joined now in International Cruise Victims. We've covered now most of the states, and this is a new organization, only founded in January. And we've got people, members in 8 countries now, and there's, you know, a bill pending in Congress. There's also legislation being worked on in Australia and Ireland. We're also in contact with the International Maritime Organization. Their dirty little secret has been exposed, and we're not going to let this continue anymore.
What's next?
What's next is, well, first of all, we're waiting for the new Congress to convene.
Right.
And we're going to, you know, reintroduce the bill. Unfortunately, it was introduced at the end of the term, so that was a bit of a problem. But we're going to have the bill reintroduced, and we're confident it will get passed. And at least then there will be statistics kept by the government of the true extent of cruise crime and missing passengers. Additionally, there will be, you know, better security and other matters like that. One thing that's important in the new bill, the CLASS Act, is that a captain will be required to report within 4 hours that a passenger has gone missing to the U.S. government. So no longer will we have passengers missing for 8 hours or, quite frankly, for weeks in the case of Miriam Carver before the cruise line even notifies someone that there's a missing passenger. So that's what we're hopeful for. And that's, you know, in the broader scheme of things. And with respect to my brother's case, like I said, we're still very hopeful that the perpetrators will be brought to justice, and we will continue fighting behind the scenes to make sure that that happens.
Absolutely. Do you have a website that you can plug?
That would be great. It's www.internationalcruisevictims.org. And I think that your listeners will be interested to read the member stories there. Each member story has a similar theme in that, you know, a crime occurs or a passenger goes missing and you're on your own. And I think your listeners would really learn a lot by looking at that website.
One more time for the website.
www.internationalcruisevictims.org.
Bree Smith, thank you. Let's stay in touch. I would like to have you back on the program again so we can continue with this very important story.
I would appreciate that. Thank you, Dana.
Thank you, Bree. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is the Dana Pretzer Show. You know, it frustrates the heck out of you to see and hear folks like this that got the shaft, that didn't get the answers that they deserve, but by God, they sure are strong. They fight the fight, and we have to support them the best we can. My name's Dana Pretzer. This is the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Store walking, she found a boy she liked. She wanted to get married, settle down in life. Girl next door and walking, she knew it wasn't right. She came home at past 10, late every night.
she never took love second hand. But to my surprise, she thought that love was paradise. No next door in the walking, she found the boy she liked. She wanted to get married, settle on her life. Now the two are married, settled down for life. She walks by him hand in hand, late every night. Well, her next door was walking, she found the boy she liked. She wanted to get married, settle on her life.
Okay, we're back. This is the Dana Pretzer Show on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. I'll stick around for a couple minutes if you want to call in toll-free. 1-877-842-7884. 1-877-842-7884. Hope you enjoyed the program this evening. We had a busy show. J. Paul Duratney coming on to talk about the Duckett case. Dave Holloway, the search for his daughter. You know, it's just... It tears your heart. It just tears your heart to hear these people, these folks, these families, these victims' families, and what they're going through, and you wished you could do more. Pat Duraha, his mom, Claudine Andrews, and his battle with leukemia, driving for donors, you know, go there. Check it out. This is important. He's a brave young man, for sure. And Bree Smith, with the George Smith disappearance. And how many of you thought about cruise lines and the safety of cruise lines? You know, they're floating cities. They're floating small cities, and there's crime. You can't expect there not to be. And are the security people on these boats trained? Are they providing the proper security? Should they be doing more security, you know, as... Very important stories. Again, our website is www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. You'll be able to hear this show and others. You can hear others right now. You can hear my daily commentary. I do a daily commentary Monday to Friday where I talk about things that are on my mind. And then, of course, our weekly show or shows you can go in and listen to or download. And we encourage you to do that and share it with your friends and put it on your iPod or your Peapod or whatever. That's why we're here to do the program. Of course, I have to thank Red and Tom from Scared Monkeys and all the monkeys for helping out with the program. Larry Garrison and others for helping out with booking guests. You're all important. And it's this type of program that we don't see or hear in mainstream media, and we're trying to do our best here. One last call for calls before we call it a night. Do you have a comment on anything? My guests, something that you've seen in the media, toll-free 1-877-842-7884, 1-877-842-7884. Again, the webpage is scaredmonkeys.com/radio. You can listen to the programs. You can comment on the programs. You love it. You hate it. You want to hear more of it. Guest suggestions, whatever. You can certainly do that there. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Dana. It's Lynn.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Good show.
Thank you.
I learned something new from each one of your guests, things I hadn't heard on the news.
You know, and maybe it's me tonight because I'm kind of in a blue mood, but it just drives me, and I wish I could do more for these people because they're so brave and they're so strong and they're able to come forward and fight the fight. And I think that's what we do here on the Internet and on satellite and on the radio, and we do things that we can to try and help. We're not the regular type of media where you just get little bits and bites, and I'm certainly not going to yell at you and scream at you on the air either.
Yeah. It is very pleasant to listen to these people just talk to you.
Yeah.
I mean, they know you care. They know you're listening. They know they're not going to cut, you're not going to cut to commercial, and they just talk. And it's very informative, and it's very pleasant to listen to.
Thank you. Thank you. You have a question?
No, but the one thing I wanted to mention, you know, it's sort of in the area of journalistic integrity, but slightly different. when you finished playing your interview with Pat and his mom,
yep.
I was thinking, you know, I'd rather hear this on the news than another clip of Britney Spears.
Yeah, no kidding.
And while you were playing that song, I turned on Joe Scarborough.
Yeah.
And there's Lindsay Lohan, Britney Spears, and Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, these are the same stations that claim they just don't have time to give to some of these families and some of these issues that, you know, they'd like to give. And yet I see endless coverage of Britney Spears.
Yep. No, I agree. I agree. They'll spend time on someone walking around without their underwear on or sitting in a car, whatever she was doing, I don't give a damn. Yet we have these families that are missing people. They have issues about cruise lines. Yes, they have done some stories, but when's the last time you heard anything about George Smith? I haven't. And I watch those shows too. And just the Holloway case, Jennifer Kessy, I could go on and on and on, but you're right. You nailed it. That's right. And even Joe Scarborough, who does a pretty good show. Why does he keep on this Britney Spears not wearing underwear? Good grief.
Well, I've seen that clip a little too often in the past few days, so that's kind of on my list. And like I said, I was thinking about it before I turned on the TV, and there's Lindsay Lohan posing on the red carpet, and Paris and Britney yet again in the car. And I thought, why do they do this? You know, leave that for Access Hollywood, for, you know, E! Online, E! News, you know, Hollywood Insider.
Yep.
But, you know, give some time to people like some of your guests who really have something to say and need more than 10 seconds to say it.
You said it very well, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-877-842-7884. 1-877-842-7884. Yeah, you know, I think I did a daily commentary last week about there was something about a goat. You know, AP, Associated Press. Wire services get sent out, people read it, magazines, newspapers, Associated Press, and they did a lead story about someone breaking into a barn, spray painting a goat's private parts, and then tearing out pictures of a pornographic magazine, laying it on the floor of the barn. The goat ate the porno magazine and got sick. And that was a lead freaking story on AP. Yet, you know, the Kessies and all these people are battling so hard to get answers, and they appreciate any sort of media coverage they can get, yet we got to read about a goat with spray-painted nuts eating a porno magazine getting sick. You know, what's wrong with the media today? What's wrong with the media? Okay? You got satellite radio, Sirius and XM, all sorts of bandwidth. Some good program, yeah, but some stuff that, you know, would curl the hair on your dead aunt. And it's just garbage, some of that. It's just garbage. So thankfully, we've got Red and Tom and the monkeys and all the people in the blogs and stuff where we get out, and you hear more about it every day, where the blogs are doing things in the media and answering some questions that the mainstream media are just not handling and not doing. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Dana. It's Red. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm still so upset about the goat and the spray-painted balls eating the porno magazine getting sick. You know, that should be the lead story, and Britney Spears running around without her underwear on. Maybe we're doing this all wrong, or am I wrong?
Does this mean I have to call Paris Hilton back and cancel the interview, that you're not going to do it?
Yeah. Well, no, I'd put her on there. No problem. No problem. Anyway, your thoughts on tonight's program, sir?
Yeah, we need those pearls of wisdom, huh?
Yeah.
You know, it's there's a common thread that runs throughout the entire thing, and really it's courage. It's not easy to be in the predicaments that, you know, families, you know, whether they are of missing persons or, you know, victims of crime, or in the case of Pat, you know, victims of illnesses
right.
that happen upon us. And, you know, you could hear... The mainstream media does need to sometimes take a good listen, and you can hear that in the story itself when the mother was talking about her son. You could hear the emotion.
Yep.
And then you had Pat, who was, you know, just a... There's just so many stories out there where we're reading about 11-year-old kids that are either burning houses down or... doing God knows what.
Right.
But now you have, you know, this 11-year-old child who comes down with leukemia and already basically has his match, and he's looking to do things for others.
That's right.
I mean, you know, the world, we could use a couple more people like that.
Oh, you're darn right. And again, the strength, compassion, and all of them doing things for other people. All of them doing things for other people, and that's the great thing. They're not just working on their own. They're doing things for other people, and that's why I'm so damn impressed with them. And, you know, that young guy for 11 years of age, I'll tell you, I got to be honest with you. I'm supposed to be this big, tough cop and radio host and all that sort of stuff, but he and I talked off the air, too, and I got choked up a little bit when I was done talking to him because he's a brave young man, and if you're still listening, Pat, you deserve a lot of credit.
If he's still listening, he needs to go to bed.
That too.
But, I mean, you hit the nail on the head, Dana. When people who are afflicted with situations that they've never asked for, and they turn around and try to help others, whether it is with an illness or whether it is trying to make people aware of whether it's safe travels with Beth or whether, you know, it's with Bree and her family, with what they've done is absolutely amazing.
Yep.
With the whole congressional hearings. I mean, I guarantee you, those two families are Royal Caribbean and Aruba's worst nightmare.
Yep.
I spoke with Bree the other day, probably far too long, and I'm just amazed at the fight that they have, and you heard her say it. Royal Caribbean has tried to get them to settle.
Yep.
They will not settle.
Nope.
And they have no reason to settle.
Nope.
They have no will to settle, and they're not going to settle. Nope. And, I mean, they have taken all of the body shots, and they have taken Royal Caribbean's best spin, and they have put, I mean, I think it was, if I remember right, one of Royal Caribbean's damage control attorneys that came out was Lanny Davis. And,
right.
You know, that right there tells you. when you have to have Lanny Davis, you've done something wrong.
Yeah.
And you really need to control the damage that you've done. And I think that the cruise industry, this has been going on forever, and it has been the dirty little secret, and they have basically paid people off to keep quiet or basically put them, you know, into situations where they could never afford the legal fight. And they've met their match.
Yeah.
In the Smith family. I mean, these guys are dedicated, and the work that Representative Shays has done out of Connecticut has just been amazing.
And that's as it should be. Just before I let you go, your thoughts on attorney professionalism in the media, and I think you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, that was, and it probably gets even better because, you know, some of us are privy to some behind-the-scenes stuff, but wouldn't you normally think, Dana, that the lineup would have probably wanted Joe Tacopina to maybe participate in that interview with Beth and Jossie and DeVries?
Yeah.
But somehow it became a call-in after the fact of a high-pitched Joe at the end kind of losing it, which brings me to my common thought is, if his client's so innocent, and if, as Joe says, he has nothing to worry about, why does his attorney get so upset?
Yep.
And if his attorney gets so upset, what case is Joe Tacopina working on right now for Joran Vandersloot?
Yep.
The thing got thrown out.
Yep.
So what is he even in the picture for? And is he still doing it pro bono?
Yeah, you got it. Listen, Red, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And I hear our numbers are getting even better, and they can get even better as far as the downloads go. And we have to thank you and all the audience members for that.
Now, Dana, thank you. When I saw the numbers come in the other day, I was a little stunned. I've been kind of down and out for about a month now with pneumonia. Mm-hmm. But when I saw that, I was like, wow. I'm like, very good. And you certainly are to be commended, that's for sure.
Well, we can only get
great
better.
Great work.
It's teamwork, and we can only get better. And the folks know that this is something that they can't hear in the mainstream. Thanks, Red.
Thank you. Take care, Dana.
Bye-bye. Red from Scared Monkeys. Okay, this is my last call for calls. 1-877-842-7884. 1-877-842-7884. A special thanks to all my guests this evening. Again, the show will be available for replay a little later on this evening or first thing in the morning. Go to the webpage at www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. That's www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. And I encourage you also to check out scaredmonkeys.com by going to scaredmonkeys.com. All right. One last call for calls. 1-877-842-7884. 1-877-842-7884. You can also hear my daily commentary by going to the webpage at scaredmonkeys.com. Download it, podcast it, do whatever you want to do with it. Leave comments about it. It's just something that you hear from me about me and what I'm thinking about during the week. All right. That's it. Again, thank you. Without you, it'd be difficult to do this program. And I appreciate all your listenership. If you listen to the podcast and can't listen live, welcome. The numbers are going through the roof, and it's certainly nice to know that you're out there and you're enjoying the type of programming that we have to offer. My name is Dana Pretzer. You're listening to the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. Good night.
Skies for amber wind.